Lori's heart. And, okay, we're good. And you know how Pastor Kevin likes to joke about setting up conviction cones in a conviction zone? Okay. Stand back, because I'm about to take a wrecking ball, conviction wrecking ball, to this place. So, just joking. But I want to share with you this morning about the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially when seen through the lens of adoption and orphan and foster care. The gospel of Jesus Christ is adoption. I want to draw here this morning what I believe to be a very powerful parallel between the gospel of Jesus Christ and how we treat the neediest and most helpless in our society. It is vital to our walk with the Lord that we remember, note that word, remember, what our station was in eternal life before versus after being born again in Christ. So please turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And while you're turning there, many Christians will find Ephesians chapter 2 verses 4 through 10 familiar, but it's the verses just after that I want to focus on. But let's begin Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Note those words, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember, there's that word, that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We read here that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings the dead to life, and those who are far away, near. Verse 5, we were all dead in our trespasses. We were all spiritually dead, which means to be separated from God for all eternity. That's what it means to be spiritually dead. All who believe in Christ as Lord stood at one point condemned to be separated from God's presence for all eternity. That was our fatal disease. The cure was that our loving God stepped in, visited us in our distress, and healed our disease. If he had not done so, we would have remained condemned to a horrible, horrible fate that we, in fact, deserved. For we have sinned against the infinite, sinless One, the One. Jump down to verse 11. Remember. Remember what? That you were once Gentiles in the flesh. In other words, unsaved. Verse 12. That at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, you were not citizens of God's chosen nation and people. Going on in the verse, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Our Lord, through the Apostle Paul, the writer of Ephesians, is communicating here that we had no hope of entering heaven whatsoever. Why? because, verse 11, we were without Christ. And verse 12, we were aliens and strangers. A stranger is someone that you do not know. What did Jesus say he would say to those that he did not know? Matthew 7, 23 tells us, depart from me. We need to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. There was an unfathomable chasm between us and God that we could not cross. There is only one being in existence that can cross that divide, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Justice demands that wrongdoers be punished, and we are all wrongdoers. But because of Jesus' brutal death on the cross, the shedding of his blood to pay for our wrongs, and that satisfaction of that justice, those who believe he is who he says he is, and in the power of his sacrifice on our behalf, have been brought near. I've heard it said that all other religions are a series of rules, rituals, checklists, etc., to reach up to God. Christianity, on the other hand, is the only faith where God reaches down and pulls us up. For he knows we cannot reach him. We cannot do it of our own selves. There are no rules, no rituals, no good works that we can perform to erase our sins. It doesn't work that way. There's this horrible misconception out there in our society, and I think even subconsciously, even among Christians, that if I'm good enough, that if my good outweighs my bad, here's my good, here's my bad, as long as that's higher than this, I'm good, I'm going to heaven. I mean, that's antithetical to the entire scripture. You know, that's antithetical to what Jesus said. Because if that's true, if your good outweighs your bad and that's all that needs to happen, then what did Jesus die for? For nothing. If you can earn your way to heaven, if there's things you can do to get there, then he died in vain. But we know that's not true. And that's not what he said. That's not what he taught. That's not what the scriptures teach. This mentality is completely contradictory to what the scriptures taught. We are saved by grace through faith and not of works, so that no one can boast. Okay? No, we cannot bring ourselves closer to God. It's our Heavenly Father that has brought us near to himself. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. The veil of the temple was split from the top down by God, and we can now come near to him. There's no separation for those in Christ. We have been brought near to Jesus. That is the gospel. So what does all this have to do with adoption? You probably noticed that I've said virtually nothing about adoption so far, since the beginning of this message. And I wonder, though, if some of you were connecting the dots as I was going along to adoption. Did you know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you were once an orphan? But then you were adopted by a loving parent. All believers have been adopted. What is an orphan? One legal definition used in the United States is a minor bereft through death or disappearance of, abandonment or desertion by, or separation or loss from both parents. In everyday use, an orphan does not have any surviving parent to care for them. I think both definitions apply to us here today. Did you catch the word separation in that definition? Didn't we just talk about that just a few minutes ago? The plight of the orphan is that they are very young, separated from their parents for various reasons, and it's not always within the parents' control, and are left without someone to care for their physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. They are alone, incredibly vulnerable, and doomed to a nebulous but probably undesirable fate, unless a very loving, sacrificial person steps in, crosses that chasm, and does what the orphan themselves cannot do, and provides for all their needs. It's easy to speak about adoption in vague terms, so I'd like to make this much more personal. In case you did not know, the Hernandez family, we live in a shoe. In fact, there was a Mother Goose rhyme written about my wife, Lori. There was an old lady who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she... So you've heard this. Okay, good. That was written about us. But seriously, over the years, you may have noticed that we keep showing up with new kids every so many months, a new child. The reason it seems that way is because we do. But over the last 6 years or so, we have fostered 11 children, and that's in addition to our 7 children. For those 7 children, four of those 7 children are adopted. One of them we formerly fostered, little Marcus. So if you count them all, that's 18 kids. Our 3 oldest, Adriana, Thomas, and Lauren, were adopted originally from overseas. Adriana and Thomas from Vietnam, and Lauren originally from China. All of our adopted children have an incredible adoption story, and they really are, all of them, a testimony to the goodness of God. But I'd like to just share about Adriana's story here today. And she was born in Bien Hoa in the Dong Nai province of Vietnam, the far northwest side of Saigon, what's known today as Ho Chi Minh City. And her parents were married and very poor, and when her mother became pregnant, her father did not want children, and so he wanted her to get an abortion. Her mother refused, and the father left her. Go ahead and put the slide up. And so, Leti Thuy Linh was born on January 6, 2000, to a mother who loved her daughter very much, but could not provide for her. So when she was about 6 weeks old, her mother gave her over to the government of Vietnam for care, and she was placed in an orphanage. That's not Adriana, that's her mom. And literally Adriana there. Go ahead and leave it there. That's literally the first photo we saw of Adriana when we first were given the opportunity to adopt her, that one that you see there. Go ahead and leave that there. When she was about 5 months old, Lori and I felt compelled to adopt, and not just adopt, but internationally. Originally, we were looking at Korea because, one, it was the cheapest, because international adoption is very expensive, and two, it was among the quickest processes as far as the length of how long it would take. It would be months, not years. After about 5 months of endless paperwork, questionnaires, notarizing everything, background checks and so on, and Lori did most of it, bless her heart. 3 children's files were laid in front of us. And we were told, these children each meet all the criteria that you've laid out, with one exception. They're from Vietnam, not Korea. Would you be interested? And not only were we interested, but immediately seemed like both of us were drawn to that photo. It was a file with that photo kind of paper clipped on it. And I just went, "Nyeo." From that moment on, she was our pretty little Adriana. We named her soon after that based on the Vince Gill song, if you remember that. The lyrics, the chorus just worked perfectly. And so, as far as we were concerned, she was our daughter, and we loved her, and would move heaven and earth to go get her. Long story short, there were some obstacles that we had to overcome. potential government corruption and other issues. But our adoption agency, which is Holt International, was worth their weight in gold. A Christian-based and very credible, competent adoption, international adoption agency helped us through all that. And we were able to bring Adriana Lynn Hernandez home. Next slide. In December of 2001. So that's her name in Vietnamese there, Letit Thuy Lin. Next slide. So I want to, this is cool. What's cool about this, this is again one of the first photos we had. There she is right there. And the orphanage, just to save money, would take one photo of four kids and use that same one for multiple people just to save a little bit of money. What's cool about this is, do you know who that is right there? Thomas. So in the process of adopting her, we kept seeing photos of them together. We have pictures of them in the crib, in the orphanage. They knew, they're not biological brother and sister, but they knew each other and were playmates in the orphanage before we went and got her. We didn't know we were adopting him yet at this point. But so cool to see. God knew. Praise God. There's some very definite parallels between her story and the reality, and really all of our adopted kids. There's a lot of parallels between adoption and the gospel. Letit Thuy Lin was, in a very real sense, lost. She was growing up in a government building that, while we saw genuine concern from the government caretakers that were there, they were horribly understaffed, underfunded, and could not give her the love and attention that a true mother and father could and would. She was, for the most part, alone in a very bleak, uncertain future that she had no ability to change herself. It required loving parents a very long distance away, literally half the world, to bridge that gap that she could not. It required them to reach out to her. She was helpless. While we in no way bought her, we had to pay a very heavy price for her to come home, because it was international adoption, as I said, is very expensive. There was no blood shed, but a lot of time, sweat, and tears. From the moment that we laid eyes on her, she was immediately part of our family. Grafted in, and in all ways equal to any of the children that Lori and I would birth later. Lori did most of the work there. She immediately became an heir. And she's going to inherit the vast Hernandez empire. She's an heir. She was not chosen to become a member of our family because of anything special about her. I mean, she was incredibly cute, but we barely knew her at all. That all we had was those photos and a little bit of information. All we knew about her is that she was in relatively good health and that she was created in the image of God and that the value of her life was based on that. There was nothing inherent about her that allowed her to earn her way into our family or gave her any kind of right to be a member of our family. Instead, we chose her and made a way for her to come home. Do you see the parallels? In the same way that we moved heaven and earth, figuratively, to make a way at great price to bring all of our children home, so it is that our Lord Jesus Christ moved heaven and earth, literally, to make a way at incredibly great price to bring all of his children who believe in our heavenly home, in our heavenly Father, to go be home with him. It is a beautiful picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there's two obvious flaws in this analogy here, in this parallel. The first is that the God figure in this story, the one doing the reaching out and making the way, is really two very flawed individuals who needed saving themselves. But we don't make very good gods at all. And second, the orphan's lostness was at no fault of her own. Nothing our kids did put them in that situation they were in, unlike all of us, saved by grace. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7 tells us, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his sons into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 6 tells us, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." Scripture tells us that children, from the moment they are formed in the womb, matter tremendously to the Lord. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, King David instructs us, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them." My brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord knew us in the womb. We were assigned personhood by God in the womb. And in some mind-blowing sense, which is beyond all of us, he knew all the details of our lives before we were even born. James 1:27 tells us this about the heart of our Lord. "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Pure and undefiled. One of the best ways that you or I can honor the Lord is to show compassionate love for the orphan and the widow. The word "visit" that in most translations here is used in the New Testament to describe both divine and human actions of visiting or overseeing with the intent of providing help, comfort, or judgment. So in other words, it's not just a quick visit. There's a connotation of sustained aid there. Okay, it's not just in and out. No, there's a sustainment. So now what? What do we do with this knowledge? More importantly, what does the Bible say we should do with this knowledge? Just a few verses earlier in James chapter 1, it tells us this: "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So my brothers and sisters, we need to act. We need to be doers of the word, not just hearers, doers. Early Christians were known for rescuing and caring for unwanted children, including those that were abandoned and deformed. They believed that children were created to be cared for and cherished, and that they were image bearers of God. And sadly, I feel like to a certain extent, we've lost that reputation for the most part. I mean, it's true if you look at studies of, who adopts kids, who does foster care. It's overwhelmingly Christians, but not enough. Not enough. Because there's so many kids out there that need help. So, what will you do to honor the Lord's command to care for the widow and the orphan, to be an effective doer of the word. And no, I'm not saying all of you have to start the adoption process right now, like at this moment. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? No. I was going to make a joke. Yeah, coming in, it's going to be people with paperwork to start the process right now. No, we're not going to do that. But there is a lot. There's a lot that you can do. Be a doer to care for the neediest and most vulnerable in our society. It's an act of worship. It's an act of obedience. We just read it. There's a lot that you can do. Yes, adopt domestically or internationally. You can become licensed, become a foster care or respite care provider. A lot of families, and we've experienced it, and we just had a little Mateo go off. He was adopted by a loving family, which we're happy about, but it wrenched us in the hearts because we were this close to adopting him ourselves. We just felt like we sensed we weren't supposed to. I'll tell you this, though. If he comes available again, we're on it. I will tell you right now. That was a tough one. And there's always that, you know, you're going to love this child, and then they're going to be pulled away. Yes. Do it anyway. Okay? For their sake. Glorify God by doing so. But there's foster care. There's respite care. And that's just where you have to get licensed. It's a very similar amount of, you know, process to go through. But what you're doing is giving rest and respite to foster families that need a rest from the child, or maybe, you know, there's some circumstance that they can't bring the child with them or that sort, and you can bless them for a day or two or a week or whatever the case. It's not a permanent long-term thing. Be careful, because you might fall in love with that child. But I want to encourage you, become a CASA, which is a court-appointed special advocate. This is almost like being a big brother, a big sister for children in foster care. You advocate for them both in court and out, and you visit them regularly and so on. Regularly pray for foster families, adoptive families, biological families, the families that are, you know, they're in foster care. They lost their child for one reason or another, and for the foster children. Find a foster an adoptive family in your community and find out ways that you can support them. Use your Arizona tax credit and support foster care agencies. They provide licensing and training and support to foster families and adoptive families. You can financially support children in the U.S. and abroad through organizations like Compassion International and World Vision, and Holt International, our adoption agency, has a similar program as well. And it was cool when in 2019 we went to Vietnam on a heritage tour, and we got to meet some of the families that were being supported by that fund, and they needed the funds. I will tell you that. It was a beautiful ministry there. Volunteer and support families and children staying together at places like Yavapai Territorial Gospel Mission that we support as a church. There's other organizations like it, Village of Hope, community pregnancy centers that minister to young pregnant women and give them services and counseling and support and so on. There's a lot that we can do. Be a doer of the word. In closing, Pastor Kevin got 3 in closings last week, so I get 4 this week. As believers in Christ, all of us have been adopted into God's family. Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Esther's mother and father died, and she was adopted by Mordecai into his family, taken in as his own daughter. Jesus Christ was adopted by his earthly father, Joseph. That's some pretty amazing examples for us to follow. I asked the worship team to sing Follow You. I just want to share some of the lyrics because they're powerful. You live among the least of these, the weary and the weak, and it would be a tragedy for me to turn away. All my needs you have supplied. When I was dead, you gave me life. So how could I not give it away so freely? And I'll follow you into the homes of the broken, follow you into the world, meet the needs for the poor and the needy, God. Follow you into the world. Use my hands. Use my feet to make your kingdom come to the corners of the earth until your work is done. Faith without works is dead. On the cross, your blood was shed. So how could we not give it away so freely? Follow you into the homes of the broken. Follow you into the world. Meet the needs for the poor and the needy, God. Follow you into the world. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, our Creator, our King, our Savior, our adoptive Father. Lord, we glorify you today and say thank you for your goodness and mercy upon us, for not giving us the things that we do deserve and giving us many blessings that we do not deserve. Lord, we thank you that that while we were yet in our sins, Lord, that Jesus died for us. He bridged that gap. He crossed that chasm that we never could. He humbled himself, stepped down into our darkness and lifted us up, paying a terrible price in doing so. He adopted us into our heavenly family. Oh Lord, move our hearts here today. Move the hearts of your church worldwide, that we would once again be renowned for caring for children, Lord. Help all to remember where we were before you saved us. And let us turn around and both encourage adoption and foster care, and even seriously consider doing it ourselves. Lord, because you call to us, but more importantly, to share the gospel with those around us, that they too would become heirs to your heavenly kingdom. Move our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.